That's going to talk about demographics and growth projections for San Diego County. And that's going to be about the extent of my bios for each one of the speakers, all right? So, Beth?
Good morning, everyone. As Mike mentioned, I am Beth Jarris. I'm the project manager for the Regional Growth Forecast and the Annual Socioeconomic Estimates Programs at Sandbeck. I'm going to cover a lot of statistics, and I will try to keep them interesting because I know it's early in the morning, but feel free to get up and get an extra cup of coffee if you need it at any point. I strongly suspect that everyone in here in the room knows what Sandbeck is, so I won't bore you with the normal spiel that I will offer about the 18 cities and the unincorporated county. But what I will say is I'm going to focus most of my comments at the regional level. So we'll be talking about the county as a whole, all 3 million people and 1.2 million housing units. And just keep in mind that every individual jurisdiction is going to face very different, sort of some similar challenges, but different conditions. You know, we have cities as small as Del Mar with only 4,000 people and cities as large as the city of San Diego with 1.2 million. So each individual jurisdiction may differ from the regional trends, but I'm going to focus at the regional level, and I'm happy to provide data for your individuals after the presentation. Sandbeck produces forecasts, or has produced forecasts, for the past 40 years. And we started out producing them for transportation planning purposes back in the 1970s. And we now also use them for a variety of other purposes. The forecast uses have grown exponentially over the years. It's used both internal to Sandbeck for the Regional Transportation Plan and the Regional Comprehensive Plan. Local jurisdictions use the information for their local planning efforts, general plan updates, specific plans, and the like. County Water Authority uses the plan for their water planning, or the forecast for their water planning efforts. So there's a variety of uses, and therefore we produce a ton of data, and I'm just going to be scratching the surface of that with today's comments. So just before we jump off into the data itself, to give you a little walk down memory lane, San Diego, this forecast looks out over 40 years. And if we think about how much change there has been in the last 40, that sort of sets the context for looking 40 years out into the future. If we think about 40 years ago, the Coronado Bay Bridge celebrated its 40th birthday last summer, as did Qualcomm Stadium and Sports Arena. So think about how much change happens. Qualcomm was brand new 40 years ago, and now we're talking about it being obsolete and the Chargers looking for a new home. We've also built a ton of transportation infrastructure. There was no light rail anywhere in San Diego County 40 years ago, and since then we've added the Blue Line, Orange Line, Green Line, and we'll be working on the Mid-Coast extension up to UCSD soon. And think about the redevelopment efforts that have happened. I work in downtown San Diego. When I moved to San Diego 10 years ago, you wouldn't have walked east of 6th Avenue even in broad daylight. And now East Village is one of the most vibrant communities we have in the city of San Diego. So a lot can change over 40 years. So keep that in mind when we're talking about the long-range projections for the region. So as we look out into the future, I mentioned San Diego County currently has about 3 million residents, 1.4 million jobs, and just under 1.2 million housing units. We expect that in the next 40 years, we'll grow to just under 4.4 million residents, 1.9 million jobs, and 1.5 million housing units to support that population and job growth. And to answer the question before it's asked, how come population growth is so much higher than housing growth? And the answer to that is, on average, 2 to 3 people live in every household. And we'll talk about the dynamics of that a little bit more later on. But in general, as long as the growth rates are similar, you've got a balance between your housing and population growth. And because it's early in the morning, how many people, show of hands, how many people were actually born in San Diego County? A little less than half the room, that's what I would expect. More than half of us were born outside of the state of California. San Diego has long had a history of being a community of transplants. And oftentimes, what I've heard in city council meetings and with the Sandbeck board is, why should we be planning for people to move here? You know, why should we be accommodating growth? We like our communities as they are. Why should we let anyone else move in? Let's keep things status quo. Well, the truth of the matter is, most of our population growth in the future is already here today. The two-thirds of the population growth we expect in the next 40 years is from either longer life expectancy to those of us who live here today, or births to residents who live here. So in planning for the future, we're planning for us. We're planning for our own longer life expectancy, and we're planning for our children. So in terms of selling the housing element process, that may be a useful fact to keep in mind when dealing with your councils. And to walk through this slide just a little bit, The top line, that white line there, is the number of births. San Diego County has about 48, 49,000 births per year. We expect to grow and sort of, even though birth rates are declining, the number of women around is increasing. And so we expect that number to grow just a little bit and stabilize at about 50, 55,000 births per year. It's pretty high, a lot of growth just from that one piece. The opposite end of that is the deaths. I'm a demographer, gotta talk about them. Even though it's sort of a depressing topic. So that's that gray line at the bottom of the screen. And the generations that live in San Diego County today have longer life expectancies than any other group that's come before us. And so the number of deaths doesn't nearly offset the number of births. We have about 20,000 deaths per year on average in the county. And the rest of the growth comes from migration. The international migration is the yellow line in the middle of the screen, sort of that orange color, and it's pretty stable. We get about 1% of international migration from the rest of the U.S. and we expect that to stabilize. We get between 12 and 17,000 international migrants per year, give or take, depending on the year, and we expect that'll be pretty flat. But again, still the number of births dwarfs that component. And then domestic migration is the last piece. It's people who move into San Diego County or out from other parts of the United States. And you can see that's the line that looks like sort of a heart monitor chart there. And you can see in the 70s and early 80s, we had years where we had 40, 50, or 60,000 people moving into San Diego County. That's the reason why there's so much latent concern about planning for people moving in, because for a long time in our history, that was where most of our growth came from. And when you have 60,000 new residents every year who didn't live here the year before, it's a big change. But what you see is starting in the 1990s, we actually had tens of thousands of people moving out. You know, the recession in the early 90s, there were a lot of job losses due to the defense cutbacks and base closures. And even in the early 2000s, when our economy was growing at a really strong clip, people didn't start moving back in, so we didn't see a return to that in-migration. So we've had about 20 years where we've had net out-migration. So we figure on balance, in the future, the net's going to be zero. In some years, people may move in some years, people may move out, but we feel like that trend of most of our growth coming from other parts of the U.S. is probably over. And as a result, most of our growth, I mentioned most of our growth is going to be those of us who live here today, and most of our growth is going to be in the older age groups. Again, another thing to keep in mind as you're working on your housing element is providing housing for senior populations. The chart, I'm going to see if I can extricate this. What this chart shows, it's a population pyramid. It's a demographer's tool for explaining demographic characteristics. You see males on the left-hand side of the chart, females on the right, the youngest age groups at the bottom, and the oldest age groups at the top. So this bar right here is male children under the age of 5. 5 to 9, 10 to 14, so on and so forth at the top of the chart. One of the things that's sort of unique to San Diego is this bump in the male population 18 to 24. Largely because we have about 100,000 active duty military personnel in the county, predominantly male, predominantly that age group. And then females are on the other side of the chart, and you'll see that women tend to have longer life expectancy, so their share of the population in those older age groups tends to be a little bigger. And then the yellow bar, and the dark gray represents characteristics today. The orange or yellow is where we expect the region's gonna grow by 2050. And what you'll see is that half of our population growth between now and 2050 is expected to be in the oldest age groups, those 65 and older, and a full 10% of that change between 2008 and 2050 is going to be in the population age 85 and older. Now that's over 40 years, but that change is already happening. The baby boom population is getting older, housing type preferences may change. I know there's some concern about, are we providing adequate services for people to age in place? But we're also seeing some shift toward people moving into maybe assisted living facilities, maybe downgrading from that single family rural home into a townhouse in the city because the lifestyle, it's easier. You don't have to do your yard maintenance and that type of thing. And San Diego County is also changing in terms of race and ethnicity. Back in 2009, we became a majority minority county, meaning no one population group had more than half of the population. We're about just under 50% white in the county now, and about 30% Hispanic, the other 20% including Black, Asian, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, two or more races, and other groups. And why do we care about race and ethnicity? In terms of putting together the background data for your existing conditions and your future needs, San Diegans are more likely to have completed college than our peers nationwide. About 34% of us have at least a college degree, if not a master's or a doctoral degree. Compares really favorably with the nation, where only about a quarter of the population has completed college. Next slide, please. But there are some really big gaps when we look at that information by race and ethnicity. What you see on the screen is Hispanic, Black, White, males on the left and females on the right, sort of in that order. And if you look at, for example, the white male population, about 95 to 99% of the white male population have completed high school, and about 40 to 42% have completed college or a graduate degree. With the Hispanic population, only 60% of Hispanic males have completed high school, and less than 15% have completed college. And so one of our fastest growing groups into the future is also bringing along some of the lower levels of educational attainment. When we look at the poverty rate, unfortunately the most recent data we have right now only goes through 2008. The 2009 data will be released, I mentioned, in December or January of this year. Poverty rate did increase a little bit. It started at about 11%, the orange lines are San Diego, 11% in 1990, grew to about 12% in 2000, and it's at least 13%, it's probably closer to 14 or 15% now that we have the recession. But again, when we look at that information by race and ethnicity, there are some really stark differences. The white poverty rate in San Diego County in the 2006 to 2008 timeframe was only 7%, but the Hispanic poverty rate was almost 20. The Black poverty rate was almost 20. The American Indian poverty rate was 23%. And the Hawaiian and Pacific Islander rate was 15%. So some really big gaps in terms of socioeconomic attainment when we look by race and ethnicity. And again, some big differences when we look at homeownership. In San Diego, groups on average have lower homeownership rates than the national average because we're a metropolitan area. There tend to be more renters in every metropolitan area than in rural areas. But there are some really big gaps when we look at homeownership by race and ethnicity. 62% of the white population are homeowners, where less than 40% in the Hispanic, Black, Asian, and other groups are homeowners. And perhaps most important to the housing element process are issues of household size and vacancy rate. When we look at household size in San Diego on average, and what you see again, the dark gray bars represent the US, the lighter gray represents California, and the orange is what we want to focus on, that's San Diego. Our average household size was probably highest in the 1950s, the farthest back for which we can get reliable data. And started declining and declining. 1960 it was smaller, 1970 it was smaller, 1980 it was smaller. And a lot of people speculate that that's because of changing preferences. It's because Americans want to be independent. They don't want multi-generational families living in a household. Every person wants their own house. Well, that may be the story, but it may also be just as simple as fertility rates. If you look at the number of children that each family was having over that period of time, you see in 1950 it was the highest, and as the number of children per family decreases, the average household size decreases. That bottomed out, the fertility rate bottomed out in the middle of the 1970s, and you can see small increases, 1980s, 1990s, 2000s to today in terms of average household size. So in terms of putting together the data about what's the right average household size for your community, what's the right vacancy rate for your community, understanding those trends can be really important. What the situation we're in today is a little different than perhaps what we would want to have in a normal market. We all know the vacancy rates are really high because of the foreclosure problems. We see that there are lots of families doubling up. There's some research to suggest that there's not a ton of that, but then there are other sources that say that there are lots of children, especially older children, 25 to 34 years old, moving back in with their parents. So we've seen average household sizes increase quite a bit. And again, there are some really big differences in terms of the demographic characteristics. Average household sizes in San Diego are the largest in the Hispanic community, almost 50% higher, in fact, than most of the other groups. For example, the average household size among the white householders is about 2.5 people per house. The average household size among Hispanic families is almost 3.5 people per household. So as we think about what kind of housing we're going to need in the future, if our population grows, if 3.5 people are living in each house, that means lower demand for housing overall. But if only 2.5 people are living in each house, that means we need more housing to support that population growth. And then I mentioned the vacancy rate. Again, the vacancy rate conditions that we're seeing right now, based on data coming out from the American Community Survey, are probably not normal market conditions based on the housing bubble bursting. Nationwide, the vacancy rate is over 12%. It's the first time we've seen that in a very long time. In San Diego County, it looks like the vacancy rate, according to the most recent data available, is about 8%, which is higher than we've seen in about the last 40 years. So in terms of how we get beyond that, you know, given what the current conditions are, when we look at the housing prices, what, you know, everyone here knows the story. It's been in the headlines for the last 3 years. Home prices up until about 2006 were rising at double-digit rates every year. We had a huge housing bubble that burst, and the burst is really painful. The foreclosure problem is really painful, but in the long run, it was a situation we needed to go through because families making $40,000 a year were never going to be able to afford a $700,000 house. And there's just no amount of more creative mortgage financing that was going to make that work. And so when your teachers and firefighters and even your doctors and lawyers can't afford to live in San Diego anymore, we have a problem. And so the correction, while painful, was probably necessary and a little bit long overdue. So what we see here is everything up to that spike is historical trend data. And then to the right is our projection. So we figure around 2011, 2012, we'll start to see the bottom of the housing market. We may be there now, and that we'll see a gradual return to slow, steady home price increases the way we've seen in the past. And I know it's on everyone's minds lately as we're thinking about the next housing element cycle. How do we plan for housing when we can't prove that anything's getting built right now? Question I get asked all the time. In terms of the number of units permitted, 2009 is the lowest number of units permitted we have on record. It's about 2,900. Just under 3,000 housing units permitted during calendar year 2009. In 2010, it looks like we may be on track to have about 4,000, between 4,000 and 5,000 units permitted, so we're starting to climb up out of that, but it's gonna take a while to get back to normal levels, and what our normal may be in the future may be a lot lower than what we've seen in the past. We're thinking between 12 and 15,000 units per year, at least for the foreseeable future, permitted and built, not necessarily what we need to plan for. And then in terms of where the region is going to grow, what this slide shows is past growth. It's a visualization using aerial imagery from 1980 to 2000. UCSD helped us put this together. And to explain it a little bit, some of you have probably seen this, but the dark brown areas represent sort of sage scrub chaparral areas that haven't been developed yet. And the gray is our areas of development with the Mexican border sort of two-thirds of the way down the screen there. So we're looking at South Bay, Imperial Beach, Chula Vista, National City, Coronado. Can we go and click back?
Oh, sure.
Oops.
Oh, sorry, I was going the wrong way.
Okay, and we'll go through that one more time. So you can actually sort of see the development happening over that period of 20 years. And you sort of, and this is even before Eastern Chula Vista had as much development activity as they did in the last 10 years. And then we'll look at the same thing for North County. I see the Poway, the I-15 corridor, and you can really see, especially in the 90s, development happening along that corridor, along the I-15 in North County. Next slide. So that sort of begs the question, where is the region going to grow in the future? And we did a lot of work with the local jurisdictions to understand whether their plans accommodate growth. And I want to thank all of the local jurisdictions for their many months of effort helping us put that information together. And what we see on the screen here is in 1995, the darkest blue areas represent, we'll start with job growth, because job growth tends to drive housing growth. The darkest blue areas represent areas of the highest job density. So you can see Coronado, downtown San Diego, Kearny Mesa, Sereno Valley have areas of really high job concentration. One more click. We can see by 2008, we've seen a little more suburbanization. Santee and El Cajon, San Marcos, Escondido, and Poway have a lot more job concentration if we look, you know, 10 years or 13 years later. One more click. And then if we look out to 2050, we expect that there will be two patterns in terms of job growth. There will be a lot of redevelopment and infill within our existing urban core, and there will be some new job centers, Eastern Chula Vista, Otay Mesa, and a lot more infill around the San Marcos, Escondido, and then downtown San Diego and Mission Valley areas. Next slide, please. And we'll look at the same thing for housing. Again, darkest colors represent areas of the highest housing density. We started out this presentation talking about what was going on and had gone on over the last 40 years and thinking specifically about downtown San Diego. So pay attention to a couple of spots on the screen as we go through this next one.
Over here, there's no, in 1995, there was almost no housing in downtown San Diego. There was almost no housing in eastern Chula Vista. And so as we go through to 2008, you can see lots of really dense redevelopment and infill in downtown San Diego, lots of new development in eastern Chula Vista. And then you can see additional pockets, a lot of infill and redevelopment around the urban core of the city of San Diego, some of the beach communities, downtown El Cajon and La Mesa, and then eastern Chula Vista and the Otay area. So the story there, and this is, I think, probably where the rubber really hits the road in terms of housing element planning, is that local jurisdictions' general plans are moving toward more redevelopment and infill. And that's really in alignment with the goals of the housing element. Having higher density housing near transit meets the goals of the housing element, it meets the goals of Senate Bill 375 and the Sustainable Community Strategy. But what we've heard from local jurisdictions is, when HCD is reviewing housing elements, and this is understandable, but when HCD is reviewing housing elements, proving that those redevelopment sites are viable is really hard. And so I think the challenge with this next cycle is, knowing that 80% of our growth over the next 40 years is going to be multifamily, and almost all of that is infill, how do we bridge that gap between knowing that that's our new development type, having the building community behind that, the Building Industry Association supports that idea that, you know, infill and redevelopment is hard, but that's the product type that's being demanded right now. But then having the acknowledgement that although it's hard, those sites need to be viable sites as part of the housing element process. Next slide, please. So in terms of the overall outlook, you know, we've got a lot of growth both in the senior and in the Hispanic population in our future. Most of the growth that we're going to see is redevelopment in the urban core, and particularly in the southeast portion of the county. And that the recession will be long, and it's going to be slow growth coming out of it, but that San Diego County has weathered 7 major recessions in the last 40 years. We've grown out of each one of those. There's no reason to think we won't grow after this one. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. And I should also note that, again, this is data at the regional level. We have this type of information for every community. So as you're working on your housing element, if you need that information, please feel free to contact us at any time.
Questions for Beth? What's there here?
I was just wondering if we might be able to get a copy of
that slide. Absolutely. I believe I already have a version of the PowerPoint on our FTP site, but I'll make sure that we get that information out to everybody.
Beth, you kind of alluded to it, but you mentioned that the normal growth for building permit issuance in the county and the region is going to be about 12 to 15,000 when things get normal. Does you or Susan, when she talks about her issue, how does that tie to what the need is? I know you said it doesn't relate to it because we deal with different requirements, but that might be an interesting piece of information at least for local jurisdictions.
I think that's a really good question, and Susan can maybe jump in and add to this, but what I would say is we've been discussing that a lot internally, because the SANDAG forecast is a projection that includes both demographic trends and market conditions. You know, it's what we think is most likely to happen based on the market fundamentals. And the housing element process is really a policy sort of target. It's what do you think the need is that can be met. And I think the way that we're thinking about it now is, we plan for 40 years. The HCD housing element process is a 10-year time frame. And so the bridging the gap between the two is thinking about it as you're planning, you're making available the opportunity for housing to be built for maybe 15 years in a 10-year time period. So that if the market comes back faster than we think it's going to, you've got the opportunity there. You've zoned the sites, you've done the legwork, so that if a builder has a great project and can build low-income housing or can build housing near transit or, you know, has some fabulous product to build, you've made the opportunity available. And it may or may not happen in that 10-year time period, but at least you've done the work to make it possible.
I'm going to hold. We've got time at the end of morning for additional questions, so I'm going to. But thank you very much. That was a really good question.